Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Well, it's a Bears game day. Can I be any better? Holy cow.
Well, what a matchup we're looking at tonight. How excited are you?
All I have to say to the rest of America is you're welcome.
Yes, yes, thank you. It's going to be just beautiful. The more we can get the Bears on primetime, I think the better off we'll all be. Looking forward to that one tonight. Coming up on Monday Night Football. Corey, what did you make of that one yesterday? Speaking of games that should have been on primetime, the Titans and the Carolina Panthers, a 17-10 win for the Titans. It's amazing, Corey, when you play against the Panthers, the offensive line can block a little better, and that front four generated some pressure on the pass rush.
Well, look, it's the game we all expected to see, I believe. I mean, it was not a thing of beauty. You know, look, the Panthers' defense isn't terrible. Okay. I mean, when you look at they were, I think, sixth or seventh in the league in yards allowed coming into this thing. You know, the offense has just been brutal, and they don't generate turnovers, which is a problem that, you know, we're familiar with here. And, you know, those are some of the issues. So, you know, I thought from a Jalen Duncan standpoint, it was promising. I thought from a red zone standpoint, that they were able to run the football in, you know, was promising, but, you know, that's a team that's been bad defensively in the red zone. And that's, I continue to say, you know, the Titans' number one problem is inconsistency in the run game. If they can start to generate some consistency in the run game, you know, they're going to be able to have better red zone numbers and run more plays, blah, 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 blah. So, look, I think Jalen Duncan has a pulse, which puts him ahead of what else they've been doing at left tackle. And kind of makes me wonder what took so long. But, you know, so that's a step forward. Is everything fixed? No. But they won a game, and they needed to win a game. And you move forward, and they're 4-0 at home. I don't think that's nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Duncan, what took so long. And I hear you. We were talking about this earlier. I mean, I think back to, like, camp, and he looked about as raw and not ready as everyone thought he might be, right? I mean, you could, I guess it's how you want to spin that. You could look at this and say, well, gee, player development, offensive line coach, here's a guy who months ago looked incapable, and now it looks like he's taken to coaching and has gotten better. But I know, you know, of course, that's a natural thing to think when things have been such a struggle. What about what about Levis yesterday? It's a weekly thing, Corey. You know, how's his progress? I thought he was pretty good. He missed a few throws, but I thought circumstances are never going to be great this year, but I thought he was pretty good. What did you think of him?
Yeah, you know, I thought he was decent. I thought, you know, there was the big one over the middle that he missed to Hopkins that was a little bit behind him. I thought Hopkins could have made a stronger effort towards the ball, but it wasn't a good throw. The throw to NWI just before halftime was really good. I mean, that was a 3-point throw. And that was, you know, low over the middle, you know, tight window. That was really good. And please feel free to shoot me down on this, guys. But I watched the game and I'm like, look, either the kid's good enough to play or he isn't. And I feel like they just put the handcuffs on him sometimes. You know, when you run 30 pass plays and 14 of them are screens, they're going to be on to you. And the league is on to the Titans that they want to run screens. I mean, hell, they ran back-to-back screen passes for nothing. And, you know, it's like, what, did they just want to prove it didn't work? I mean, come on. You know, and he had decent protection yesterday. And is he going to turn the ball over? Yeah, probably. But you know what? That's part of the development. That's all part of it. And I would have liked to have seen them let him play a little more in certain situations where I felt like they got really conservative with the screen action. You know, because even if he doesn't complete the pass, you the Titans have proven defenses can get called for penalties. I mean, good Lord, they've proven that, especially on third down. And, you know, you're not putting the pressure on defenses when you're calling that many screens. And, by the way, the Frank Reich screen to end the game was as gutless of a call as I've ever seen.
Just brutal.
Awful.
No question about that. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us on Robbie and Rexha. So, Corey, what do you make of all the noise around Vrabel right now? Yeah. Diana Russini came out on Thanksgiving Day and basically had a report that says he's not going anywhere at The Athletic. The Boston Sports Journal came out yesterday. Greg Bedard, who's covered the Patriots in the NFL for a while, came out with a report that basically said that Vrabel, according to some league sources, could be trying to force his way out of Tennessee after this season. So what do you make of all the noise around Vrabel and his job status with the Titans right now?
Well, I don't know how you force your way out of a job unless you're just saying, I'm going to do as terrible of a job as possible. Get rid of me. I mean, how do you force your way out? I don't know how he manages to do that.
Steal people's lunches out of the fridge and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, how many coaches are standing up to take over that team right now? And I know it's one of 32, but, you know, for everybody who thinks, you know, the Titans are a bad situation, you think the Patriots would kill for Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins right now? I mean, because they don't have that. They don't have Will Levis right now. I mean, they rolled Bailey Zappi out there yesterday. I mean, now, look, they're in position to pick high, and maybe that's attractive. But that is not a good team. It is good ownership. It is a good organization. But it's that ship has been run into an iceberg, okay? They've been getting bad for years, and now they're just really bad. I know, Joe, that, you know, Diana's a colleague, but we also know that she's heavily tied into Mike Vrabel. You know, they've got the same agency. And so, you know, I think a lot of the information, you know, does come from there. I'm not saying that there aren't other sources, but I think that that's a big source. I think for the Titans, it makes all – even if you're willing to trade Vrabel, you absolutely are going to put out the info that you're not, because you want the price for him to be as high as possible. It doesn't do you any good to say, yeah, you know, he might be available for the right price. You know, you just – look, everybody has a price. There's nobody's irreplaceable. We have seen, I mean, Peyton Manning became a Denver Bronco, okay? Everybody is replaceable. Everybody has a price. John Gruden went for like 2 2s and 2 1s and $8 trillion. So the Titans absolutely have a price for Mike Vrabel, no matter what they say. So I think that there's a lot of posturing, you know, going on right now, and they may have no intention of trading him. But I'm saying, if the Patriots want him enough and they come with a strong enough offer, he'll be the Patriots head coach. I mean, that's just life. That's just the way it is. So it's just interesting, because I think right now it's a lot of posturing from people and from organizations to say, you know, to kind of put their cards on the table to say, if you want him, you're going to have to really pay through the nose to get him, because we're not just going to give him away.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I think it's, you know, it's easy to look at this and just on both sides, maybe it's almost like, you know, it's like publicly, you know, hand fighting over this, and the Titans, it makes sense to let people know that they're happy with Vrabel. I will say, I said earlier on the show, but since you brought it up, I mean, Diana Russini would not be allowed by my editors to write a fake story that Vrabel said, hey, tell them that they like me.
I mean,
that's not what happened.
I completely agree with you. I will say, she's heavily tied into the head coach, and I just think that we always have to keep that in mind, is all I point out.
Oh, I thought Joe had a question, but I guess not. Go ahead,
Lex. Go ahead.
I just dropped the mic. That's all.
You did. Corey, last thing for you here. You got the Jags and the Texans yesterday, wild game that comes down to a field goal. By the way, I believe right now the Jags are, at least as of the game yesterday, so I guess with the Chiefs winning that they wouldn't be anymore, but Jags right there on the doorstep of the number one seed in the AFC, which is hard to believe. But do you feel like the Jags essentially won the division yesterday? Can Houston get back into it? How do you view that matchup?
Well, look, it's never over. Last year the Titans were 7-3 and had to win one game to win the division. Now, the Jags don't have the injuries that the Titans have, but they're an injury away from being in big trouble. I mean, you know, the quarterback could fall out of the shower today and be done for the year, and then all of a sudden winning the division is very difficult. I mean, you know, it goes to show, who is the old Toronto GM? Like, well, you pick him top five long enough, he should be good. But, you know, you pick high long enough, you should have good players. And when you actually have an adult running the team, you know, coaching, you know, you can be good. And then, you know, the Texans I've mocked for years because ever since Mr. McNair passed away and his son ran the team, he has run it into the ground. Well, they no longer have the team pastor running the organization, and it's a miracle that they've gotten better. You know, and also it goes to show you, when you look at both teams, the value of the quarterback position. You know, when you get that position right, it cures a lot of ails and it covers a lot of warts. And, you know, speaking of that, watching the Panthers yesterday, I have no idea in my heart, in my soul, in my brain, in the fabric of my being, how you can have a 5'9", 150-pound kid walk into your building and you want to pick him, you want to trade up to one to take him over C.J. Stroud. He was a great
college
player.
Come on! Oh, you're going to get Joe mad.
There's no question about that. He was a great college player, fantastic college player to watch. This is not college. It is not college. That guy is tiny. Tiny. I can't believe he finished the game yesterday. And you could have taken C.J. Stroud. Just take the look at the two of them side by side.
Get him, Joe.
I mean, Drew, you know, put Drew Brees in his prime, tiny Drew Brees, on that freaking team, and he sucks. Like, the Titans' game plan was stop Adam Thielen. That was one of their three key points. Let's stop number 19,
Joe,
the number three receiver
Adam
in the
Thielen
NFL.
This year. No one has stopped Adam Thielen this year. He's having a monster year.
He's a good because he's the only guy they can throw to.
Suddenly he was hamstrung by Adam Thielen, who had like 700-plus yards coming into the game and was – I mean,
no,
look, I'm not
the
saying
point,
he's
no. The point Jefferson. Is he's their best offensive weapon. Like, that's
but
all
the
they've
point
got.
Is
this
he's
is
not
the
as
work.
Good as C.J. Stroud, Joe. He's not as good as C.J. Stroud. Okay. All right, 10 years from now, when we're analyzing both of these players, what are we going to be saying? Which one's going to be better?
Well, I'll stick with my pre-draft analysis. I think Bryce Young is the best quarterback of all these guys. However, and I may be wrong, and I've been wrong plenty of times before, but this rushing to judgment of what we've seen this year is a mistake. He has the worst situation of any quarterback in this league by far. Stroud has a good situation. And Stroud's been great. Don't get me wrong. He has a good situation. Bryce Young has an atrocious situation.
Going into the season, who said Nico Collins and Tank Dell is a great situation?
Well,
no
I don't
one.
Care about going into the
no
season. They block
no
for him.
Said,
he has two good backs, and he has four good receivers.
The team around him.
Oh, okay.
He's elevated
okay.
the team around him. Because why? Because he's a really good player.
Yeah, who's better in 10 years, C.J. Stroud or Tyson Bagent?
Well, you know, the Division II quarterback did beat the Heisman winner, and I'm pretty sure he could beat him in arm wrestling.
He did. Corey, great stuff as always. Enjoy some Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Vikings tonight. You might be one of eight people watching. I wish you a lot of success tonight.
Well, I appreciate it, and congratulations on the curse of the waxing gibbous taking down the Lions with your Packers on Thanksgiving. 0-13 during a waxing gibbous now. There are some things you just can't overcome in the world, and the phase of the moon is definitely one of them.
Apparently so. Corey, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rex Run. He went directly after you there. I liked it. Directly after you.
Yeah, look, man. C.J. Stroud has been great. I have nothing bad to say. It's promising. He looks like he's going to be really good. Dude, you can't judge Bryce Young. Yeah, he's small. We already knew he was small. He has the worst freaking team around a quarterback I've ever. This is like, I mean, it's worse than like some of the crap the Lions have put around quarterbacks in the past, and that is saying something. It's
by the way,
that's fine. We will survive. We will prevail, Bryce. You and I, buddy.
How about the Fox broadcast not having a turkey leg ready for Jordan Love after the game on Thursday? What are we doing? Is this Thanksgiving or not?
I miss that. I feel bad. I thought they were talking about the turducken.
They didn't have it. Wasn't ready for it.
Oh, that's weak.
Very weak. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll react to what Corey Curtis had to say there. Get back into the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal. Get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Tyson Berry and Ryan O'Reilly. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. That coming up on Wednesday night at Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. The Titans win 17-10 yesterday against the Carolina Panthers. A wondrous sight for all of us football fans to behold at Nissan Stadium yesterday. Will Levis on the day goes 18 of 28, 185 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 83.2 yesterday. Joe, overall, when you evaluate Levis's performance, the protection that he got, the offensive output, all of those things, what did you make of the way that Will Levis played yesterday for the Titans in his second career victory as starting quarterback?
Now, obviously, Levis has not had, you know, the euphoric. Obviously, that debut was just so explosive. The huge plays all over the field. And since then, it's kind of been some ups and downs. But I think a pretty steady, overall to me, impressive, positive, encouraging operation, decision-making for the most part. Here and there, you can call it a rookie decision. But then again, freaking Brett Favre was making decisions like that in years he won the MVP. You know, I mean, that happens. But I thought he missed a couple throws that were a little bit surprising, which he spoke to after the game. But I feel like he's got a good handle on things, and he's definitely courageous, even though the numbers say one sack, four hits. And I do think the Titans gave him some decent pockets. He's often standing in there amid a lot of chaos, very muddy pockets, and he stands in and he throws the ball. So I thought it was another step for him. You know, it's like, get to the end of the year. You get to the end of the year, play like this. Obviously, you hope for some more big plays. Maybe he turned down a couple opportunities for that yesterday. But you get through this year and keep him in one piece, and he gets these snaps banked and everything. That's a good thing for his future and the Titans' future.
Yeah, I thought he looked good for the most part. I mean, he had a couple of drives in the second half yesterday that he missed some throws on. And I will say, you know, it is concerning / disappointing that you score 17 points in the first half and then you get shut out by the Carolina Panthers in the second half. So obviously, you know, they did not do well enough in the second half offensively. But overall, I still think Levis is playing pretty well for the most part. And we went through like the operation part of it earlier. Like, I think a lot of that has been really impressive. So that's been good to see. Jalen Duncan getting in there at left tackle yesterday as well, Joe. And I realize the options are limited at this point, and they played against the Carolina Panthers, but I thought Duncan held up okay yesterday. What did you make of the way that the Titans' new left tackle played in his first start yesterday?
Yeah, he got beat a few times, pretty noticeably. Brian Burns will beat a lot of people, but it seemed to me I do not have the Pro Football Focus pinpoint grading system, you know, available. I mean,
we got to be getting close to a John Glennon tweet about that, right?
Has he not tweeted the PFF grade yet? That's crazy. I thought overall it was pretty encouraging there too. I mean, I did kind of go out of my way to watch him a decent amount of the day from the press box, and he's gotten better. There's no doubt about that. He's gotten better. Looked like he embraced the opportunity. Look, he's got the measurables, athleticism, and all that stuff. He was a very kind of a raw prospect. He needed a lot of work on technique. That was the book on him coming out. And maybe you don't want to go overboard with what it could mean if he plays well, but maybe he is a guy who could be like a good swing tackle for you down the road. You know, I mean, I think that would be a great development for the Titans to be able to have that, to have someone like that who's young, cheap, and competent, you know, that you can rotate in.
You want to know the two highest snap percentages offensively from wide receivers yesterday? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chris Moore.
Oh.
Move aside, DeAndre Hopkins. It's the NWI and Chris Moore show moving forward.
That's interesting. You certainly noticed Chris Moore a lot more out there, and they, you know, they worked him in some different situations. So it's kind of, Chris Moore, I guess, is sort of taking on the Burks role, you know, until and unless, you know, Burks comes back. But, well, of course, NWI. I mean, you know that's going to be number one.
Hopkins with 57% of the offensive snaps. NWI was at 75%. Chris Moore at 66%. By the way, Wesco at 64%. So Wesco playing more snaps than DeAndre Hopkins. That's good.
That is interesting. That is definitely interesting. I can tell you, though, on that throwback screen of Derrick Henry, Wesco messed something up, and Derrick Henry let him know all about it.
Derrick Henry was a little boisterous yesterday. He was yelling at Wesco. He was yelling at the Panthers sideline after the hit on Tajay Spears. Not very happy from Derrick Henry yesterday.
Yeah. He wasn't exactly giddy after the game either, even though they won. So, but, of course, Derrick Henry now the 39th player to get 9,000 yards. Yeah, yep. And he's also number 17 overall on the rushing touchdowns list with 84. And also, he's one of eight guys to get to 80 and 9,000 before age 30. And the other seven guys are seven of the best backs in the history of the NFL, including Barry Sanders and Jim Brown, all of them Hall of Famers. So there you go.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back into the Mike Vrabel scuttlebutt coming up next. Lots of interesting reports over the weekend about him. We'll take your thoughts on that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away to see Brian Regan at Ryman Auditorium coming up on June 19th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Brian Regan at Ryman Auditorium coming up on June 19th, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we laid out the scuttlebutt around Mike Vrabel over the weekend a little bit earlier. Diana Rossini from The Athletic reporting basically that Mike Vrabel not going anywhere, that if you're a Patriots fan and you want to be trading for Vrabel, forget about it. It's not happening. And if you're a frustrated Titans fan and you want A.B. Adams Strunk to fire Mike Vrabel, that's not happening. That was from The Athletic on Thursday. Well, Thanksgiving morning is when that came out. And then we discussed yesterday another report coming out of Boston relating to Mike Vrabel as it relates to his job status from the Boston Sports Journal, essentially saying that Vrabel could be trying to force his way out of the Titans at the end of this year, and that New England could be an obvious landing spot if that happens. So, Joe, as you factor all of these, all the different information that's out there, piece all of these different things together, how do you view the current landscape of Vrabel, his job status, where that stands, and where this could be heading after the season, especially from the New England point of view and their pursuit of Vrabel? First meet of the day for Rex Road.
Gosh, darn it. Mention it. I haven't been doing that much lately, by the way.
You haven't.
You know, Corey Curtis said a few things that ticked me off, but especially the Bryce Young slander. My goodness. No, but Corey, I asked the question on the show earlier. Like, I know that Jared has the thing where it's like straight from the desk of Mike Vrabel, you know, whatever, about Rossini. I'm trying to remember, like, everybody says that. Like, we all know Rossini's connected. Like, someone said this to me on Twitter the other day. I'm like, well, wouldn't you say that about anybody who covers the Titans? We all talk to Vrabel. Are we all connected to Vrabel too?
He's a friend of the show.
That is true. He very much enjoyed his time on this program with us. I'm just saying, like, it's become this all, like, everyone accepts it as a thing. And I'm trying to, I know draft night, certainly, you know, what went down draft night. But I don't really, and maybe I'm just not remembering everything other than Jared just saying the same thing over and over, and people eventually taking it as fact. But regardless, like I said to Corey, and he agreed, but, you know, I promise you that Diana Rossini is not writing a report, or anyone at The Athletic is not writing a report about what an organization feels about a coach, and it's actually from the coach. That would be fireable, actually. Yep. It also would not be published. So the Titans felt compelled to, and I'm not going to sit here and source guess, but the Titans on high felt compelled to say that they don't want Vrabel to go anywhere. Now, you can interpret that however you want, and I'm with Corey. Ben Volin immediately tweeted, oh, so the Titans want to make sure that the Patriots know they don't have any interest, so let's drive that price up. It could be. I don't know. It could just be that they just are absolutely committed to Vrabel, which is not a crazy idea, guys. I know that it's been bad with this football team on the field, but it's kind of what the choice was when Amy Adams Strunk fired John Robinson, and right? I mean, that's kind of what she was saying with that. Meanwhile, you have the noise coming from the Patriots, and it won't stop. And the Greg Bedard thing should be taken. I take seriously part of that report. I read the stuff in there about Rand Carthon, and I just look. I don't know who his sources are, obviously, but that feels like speculating from afar. But he has been around the Patriots for a long time. I have a little bit of an idea of maybe where he gets his information from. And it's, Greg Bedard, when he says something about what the Patriots think, people take it seriously. He's been doing it for a long time. He worked with Peter King at MMQB. And this is the Patriots, to me, continuing to rattle the cage here and make the noise about trying to get Mike Vrabel. Why? I mean, I guess you could look at it like this two sides sort of, going back and forth publicly in an unnamed way. You could look at it that way, but you don't just dismiss the Bedard thing in terms of Patriots' interest. Now, he quoted a source saying, there's a thought that Vrabel could be trying to force his way out. Like Corey said, what does that mean? What does that look like? I don't know. But it seems pretty clear that the Patriots have some interest in Mike Vrabel.
It seems pretty clear that they do. And that leads me to a couple of questions. How deep does that interest go? And what I mean by that is how far are they willing to go to try to get him, right? Like, is two first round picks like the point of no return? They're not going any higher than that. Like, how far would New England be willing to push this if they actually wanted Mike Vrabel? And if you're Amy Adams Strunk and you believe that Vrabel is your head coach and he's the right guy for the job, what is the price that stops you to cause and maybe reconsider that? Like, is there a price? Because I do agree with Corey from this perspective. Like, everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price in professional sports. What is that price for Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans where they would say, you know what? We like Mike Vrabel a lot. We think he's a really good coach, and we think he could be a good coach here for a long time. But, I mean, the Patriots are offering us two first-round picks and two second-round picks, and we can't turn that down. Like, what's that price look like for Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, I mean, I'd listen.
For sure.
I'd take the call. I would let Vrabel forward the call, from when they call the main board there.
My aunt just sent it on over. I got to take this call.
Don't listen in now.
I'm going to make sure that phone's hung up before I start talking, Mike, so you just might as well go on and do it.
I didn't hear a click. We're both doing terrible Texas accents. Dennis said, if Vrabel's truly the one calling the shots, can he walk in and say, guys, I just traded myself in our first of the Patriots for Bailey Zappe. That's funny. Yeah, and then Mike Vrabel disappears forever. They never find the body.
Just beautiful. I mean, it is fascinating. When the first Boston Globe report came out, I thought, okay, well, the Patriots look like they've got some interest in Mike Vrabel. I mean, it's not easy. It's not hard to draw a connection there between his playing days and his relationship with the Crafts and all those things. So, but like, how deep is the interest really? Like, people have been talking about Gerard Mayo taking over for Bill Belichick eventually for like 10 years. I mean, he's been there for a long time. So I just kind of brushed it aside and was like, okay, well, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. Now this one comes out too from the Boston Sports Journal. And it's to your point, it's pretty clear that the Patriots are trying to get this riled up a little bit. And how far are they willing to go with it? I don't know. Like, is it a pursue Mike Vrabel at all costs type of thing? I'm not sure. If so, I mean, it's good news for the Titans. You're either keeping a coach that you love or you're getting significant draft capital, one would assume, in return for it. But the more that comes out about this, Joe, the more convinced I am that I think the Patriots are going to try to take a run at Vrabel at the end of this year. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't know if they're going to land him or not, but it feels like they're absolutely preparing themselves to take a run at Vrabel.
If you want to look at this in terms of like sort of a negotiation through media, which does happen, again, the Titans wanted it out there that they are happy with Vrabel and they're sticking with Vrabel. Okay. So hands off. Also, again, you could look at it and say, you better come with a real price. I don't want, don't come with any weak stuff, crap. So now this report comes out, I believe from the Patriots. I believe absolutely from a high, high source of the Patriots, not someone who's, running equipment for the Patriots. And it speaks to the idea of dissension here, right? Of Vrabel not being happy here, all this stuff. Okay, so you look at it in terms of a negotiation. So is the hope that then that puts doubt in Amy's head about the stability of the relationship, and that you really have to think about what would be best. Maybe it would be best if a divorce came. I'm just speculating. Like, what's the benefit of doing this if you're the Patriots? Because clearly they think there's a benefit in doing this, and they, to me, is either ownership, child of ownership. I mean, it has to be something like that. If not, you don't write these reports.
Well, and it's such a disaster. Corey was going through like what makes the Patriots attractive earlier. And I will say, like, I'm with him on like the roster's not good and they obviously have a problem at quarterback. It's pretty clear that they're going to be bad enough to pick in pretty high in the draft, whether that's number one overall or number two or three. I don't know what it's going to end up being. But they're bad enough to where they are going to have a high pick in this year's draft. Right now, they're at number three. So could they end up being worse than Arizona and getting the number two overall pick? Are they going to stay at number three? I don't know. But that would be the attraction of the job, right? Like, if you're Vrabel or anybody else, the attraction of the job would be, okay, well, you have a chance to select a franchise quarterback here with a top pick and then go from there. I mean, the question, like, from the Titans' point of view is, if I'm trading Mike Vrabel, one of the things I'm going to be asking for is your first round pick for this year.
Yeah,
I don't know why you wouldn't ask for that if you're the Titans. So exactly. Would you do that if you're the Patriots?
I don't know. I mean, but that to me should be first thing Amy says in this phone call that we're imagining. And yeah. And I can see the Patriots trying to, how about next year? La 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 la. But I would think that would be a big deal when you know it's that high. That's a coveted pick. Craig says, no Vrabel to Ohio State talk today. I'm disappointed, y'all. We did talk about it. And, I mean, can we do one show, one Vrabel job departure at a time? Maybe tomorrow can be a Vrabel to Ohio State day. Today has been Vrabel to the Patriots day. Okay? But we did talk about it, Craig.
We did. I mean, who knows? Maybe
we're trying to get rid of Vrabel. We're trying to send him somewhere, okay?
Maybe Joe could write another column. And maybe it's like the reverse Midas touch. The Titans will just win every game from here on out after this year's Ohio State column, rather than losing every game like they did last year after you wrote it.
I mean, I could probably just change a few little words in the column and just pretend it's new and republish it.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
The Titans with a win yesterday, Joe, moved from, I believe, number 6 overall in the draft selection to number 10. So the Giants now at 6. Tampa Bay, the Jets, the Chargers have all fallen below the Titans. But by the way, I mean, I guess that at this point they're just getting through the rest of the season with him. But
yeah.
What is the value of leaving Brandon Staley employed at this point?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, he's lame duck. The Chargers, in the Bedard report here on this situation, another aspect of this is the idea that another team out there covets Belichick.
Yeah.
So what Bedard wrote about was the Chargers were one of the teams mentioned, and they trade Belichick for draft capital, then use that draft capital to trade for Vrabel, which would be, I believe, an unprecedented coaching carousel in the NFL. But you know what? It just gets crazier every year, so why not? Would a team out there want Belichick that badly?
I don't know, man. I mean, I get it. He's still in the conversation of greatest coaches of all time, but I don't know how you couldn't look at what's happened since Brady left and not think to yourself, do we really want to do that? By the way, Joe, we mentioned earlier the Frank Reich part of this, and that Tepper was mad after the game yesterday. They just fired Frank Reich.
Oh my!
The Panthers have fired Frank Reich, according to Ian Rappaport and multiple reports from the NFL Network. So, what do you think of that?
My goodness!
Made it through 11 games, got fired.
That's crazy. Obviously, they they invested a lot to get Bryce Young. People are dogging me about, you don't know that Bryce Young's a bust? No. This speaks to it. I mean, Bryce Young has had the worst situation of any quarterback in the league, but man, that's tough for Frank Reich. I mean, look, he hasn't been good. Feel bad for him though. Nice guy, you know.
He's a nice guy. He's not a good football coach.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fired after 11 games. Jeez.
I guess you should know if you're 11 freaking games. If your owner's screaming F bombs out in the hallway for all to see, you should probably fear for your job.
Probably not great. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans and the Panthers from yesterday. Also get into this weekend of college football as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, bud. Hey, I feel like everybody's too excited about that game yesterday. Hearing, the radio and then seeing my internet feed on Facebook this morning, I feel like people are too excited. Like, we played the worst team in football. And, like, realistically, somebody had to win that football game. I didn't think we looked good. Like, you can say that the defensive line looked great or whatever. I mean, yeah, Bryce Young, I think he has the worst offensive line than we do. We didn't look. We looked sloppy. You see the penalty count? We just look like such a bad, undisciplined football team. So, dude, I don't make anything out of that. Somebody had to win. I think there's a good chance we go back on a pretty hot losing streak coming up, and starting with the Colts and Gardner Minshew. And if we get swept by Gardner Minshew, dude, I'd give Vrabel away for a lot less than a first round pick. I would stop posturing with that and be like, hey, we need something, dude. So. Yeah, I'm not impressed with what happened all yesterday, man.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. I mean, look, we talked about this earlier. I'm not anticipating yesterday's win with some changing of the guard for the Titans season. And when you look at their schedule, I envision a lot of losses coming up for the Titans based on the way things have gone to this point.
I mean, what are you guys talking about? This is a huge win. This is we will look back on this as a turning point as the Titans made an incredible run 4 years later. Just like 4 years ago, they're about to turn this into an amazing run. No, but are people acting excited about this? Am I missing this?
Was anybody at the game yesterday?
There were people at the game. There were some definitely some seats posing as fans.
Look, the Titans just got a coach fired. That's how well they played yesterday. Titans just got a coach fired. Frank Reich lost his job after 11 games because the Titans looked so good yesterday.
Yeah, that is probably a good indication of how your season is going when a team loses to you and they fire their coach.
Yeah, not good. You lost to who? You're out.
Yeah. I don't think there's any illusions about what this win means.
Keith on the text line says, Bryce Young, coach killer. Well done, Keith. It is kind of amazing. I was talking about this over the break. So Frank Reich has been fired from two jobs in just over a calendar year, two head coaching jobs. That has to be an NFL record. There's no way it's not.
Yeah, right. So we could have that, and then in just a little bit later have the Titan, the double trade, Vrabel Belichick. Someone asked about what about Belichick and Vrabel just being traded for each other. What do you say, Titans fans?
I mean, I say no. It's just me.
I would say no. I would say no also.
I mean, is he bringing Brady with him? Get Brady out of retirement?
Has Brady been in a cryogenic chamber this whole time, like losing years off his life? Then maybe yes. Point was brought up to me, obviously through things like this, you still have mandated interview processes with the NFL for a coaching change, so that's something that you have to wait through the playoffs, all this, so there's a lot of this in today's NFL that would make it sticky, but If I am confident in the Patriots' ability to conduct sham interviews, I'm sure. Yes. Considering all the effort they're going through right now to make this a thing, I'm sure they would get some sham interviews lined up.
Joe, quickly, your thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt over the weekend. Tennessee wins 48-24 against the Doors. Doors finished the season on a 10-game losing streak.
Well, every day in this job, I write about a coach in the hot seat and getting traded or fired or whatever. And wrote about Clark Lee. And, you know, Clark Lee is going to get time. I mean, we talked about this last week. I disagree with you on him even being fired next year if they go 2-10, but we'll see. I mean, you just don't know when you go through it how people may change above him and how they look at it. But to me, that job is you sign up and it's like you don't even look until 5 years. But I will say that right now it's not going well. And Vanderbilt, you know, when the portal opens up and everything, it's going to be really interesting. They've got the collective has gone well for them, but they're going to have to retain some players and they're just going to have to get a lot better. He's going to have to get better. They're going to have to get better. Tennessee, well, Joe Milton was awesome. I mean, it helps to play Vanderbilt, right? You had a clean
six
pocket
touchdowns.
And you got wide open receivers, but he was throwing darts. I mean, he was throwing fantastic passes. It'd be good for him on senior day. You know, I mean, Heupel's still trying to put 50 on Vandy with Gaston Moore at the end, throwing it in the end zone. I thought Nico looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, his quickness. I mean, there is a little bit of Hendon Hooker in how he escapes the pocket and accelerates, you know.
I thought we were going to have a brawl for a second.
Yeah, that was out of hand. I mean, the Commodores charged across the field. I was like, what is about to happen here? And luckily, there were more people trying to calm that down. And, you know, the refs messed that up. I mean, they messed that up badly. Clark Lee got very fiery there, by the way. You know, the Nico thing, I know that. I think the plan was for Nico to actually come in that game earlier, but you know it actually was a little competitive, a little bit longer than they anticipated. It'll be interesting in the bowl game. I think Joe Milton is going to play, and I think Joe Milton needs to play as much football as he can before the NFL draft. He's not like, you know what I mean? I think he's going to play. But also I think a pre-planned usage of Nico I think would be a good idea in the bowl game. Why not?
Yep,
I mean, you know, it's like
totally
the
agree.
Gator Bowl, and I think, you know, try to get him going. I think he could be a special player, and he absolutely needs that year in the weight room. But I think that would be one of the most interesting things about the bowl game to come, which I think will be the Gator Bowl, is Nico playing.
Coming up next, you'll be hear from Chase and Big Joe. They'll have you covered on all things from this weekend in sports. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.